Okay, then that brings us to the film itself. You drove me around the little village here, and I'm gonna, and then you would point out places like, first of all, you pointed out how the film people painted the houses colors of the 20s.
Absolutely.
And that was interesting.
Yeah, so Jack Fisk was very, very concerned about getting everything precisely right. And so there were houses on blocks where they were going to be filming that they painted every house a color of the 1920s. My favorite story of that is the house across the street where they did a great deal of filming is painted a gold color. And the film crews could paint a house in a day, which I've never been able to get done. Jack Fisk picked out a paint color and they painted the house in a day. And he came back the next day and said, wrong yellow. And so they repainted it the next day a different color.
Okay, the name Jack Fisk, how does he come into this? And was he then very helpful to Scorsese, or was he?
Interesting. Jack came to this production a little bit late. He was what I think we call a production director. Really was the guy in charge of making sure this was, you know, historically
completely accurate
and so on. So Jack really took yeoman's responsibility for making sure things were like they should have been in the 20s. So he was really in charge of that for many years, or for during the filming. But initially, it wasn't him. The first production director was an older man from Italy who came and visited us here at the newspaper office. He and some advanced production people. And they wanted to tour the town to see where things had happened, and so we showed them around and this, that, and the other. And the Italian fellow couldn't speak very good English, so he had a translator, and once in a while he would talk, they'd chatter, and the translator said, I forget the fellow's name, said he's not very interested in Fairfax, it didn't seem like the place for filming. And I said, well, that's not good. But anyway, this is about the time COVID hit. He went back to Italy. This guy did, and he decided not to come back to America because of the COVID scare. So Jack Fisk was brought in as the new production director, and Jack lives in Virginia, and he's worked on all kinds of films all across the country.
Isn't he married to Sissy Spacek?
He is the actress.
Yes, that's right. So what we really admired about Jack was that he came here. He looked at old pictures. He looked at old books. We brought some people in who had old pictures. Jack was totally detail-oriented. And so my favorite Jack Fisk story is that we showed him a maybe one-inch picture of the Catholic Church in Fairfax in the 1920s. And he had that building reproduced down to the details of little wooden crosses above the windows so that at least at the level of the detail, I'm sure the movie is accurate. I don't know if the story is, but I know at that level it is.
One thing related to the Fairfax Chief newspaper is that Jack asked us if we had any pictures of the old Fairfax Chief during this period of time. And we didn't. I had seen something years ago, and I couldn't lay my hands on it. I had a rough idea what it looked like. So Jack asked me if I could sketch it out. So I sketched out a picture or a drawing of what I thought the old Fairfax Chief newspaper office looked like. Jack took it and recreated that in faux Fairfax in Pawhuska. So when you see the movie, you'll see the Fairfax Chief in some of the scenes, and that's our newspaper office that I gave Jack the rendition of.
Very good. Didn't they build a fake railroad in Pawhuska?
They did.
They did.
They did. They brought in a locomotive and some cars. They built 2 miles of railroad. They ran the train down the track. And actually on the trailer, which is already out, you see the train coming into the station. And that station, too, was recreated from pictures of the old Fairfax train station.
So we recreated both in Pawhuska and in Fairfax.
Yes.
Mostly
in Pawhuska.
Mostly the recreation was in Pawhuska.
And they actually came to Tulsa.
They did. And did some scenes there. They filmed in other locations, too, out in the country and other things, too.
Well, first of all, you haven't seen the film, nor have I.
No, no.
But Chief Standing Bear, the Osage Nation chief, has seen it.
Yes.
And you visited with him about it.
Yes. And others too.
And he was pleased with it?
He was.
Actually, everyone that we've talked to has been pleased with it. Now, I have not seen it, but I just want you to know that I'm not pleased.
Why?
Because the story that I have been told is that it's a love story between Ernest Burkhart and Molly. And so I'm sure that that will help sell the movie, that it's a love story. But here's my take on it. I've been married to Joe for decades. If he had tried at any point to poison me 3 different times, and if he at any point had taken our children and thought he'd leave them at a house that he knew was going to be blown up and they just accidentally weren't there that day, I wouldn't call that a dang love story.
Right.
And it makes me crazy if we've had to reconfigure the story to be a love story with someone who, at best I've ever heard, was just kind of a doofus kind of guy.
Ernest tried to poison his wife, Molly.
Yes.
And that's what you're referring to. And,
yes.
And, but, you know, people see movies and 10 people will come back with different versions
of it.
They will.
They will.
So maybe...
they'll be wrong, but...
right.
Everyone will see it a different way.
I think they will see the murder that took place.
I hope they do.
One of the things that Chief Standing Bear and other people who have seen the movie have said what they appreciate, and I understand why, because, you know, the Gray Horse community, we met way before this filming started. We met here in town in Fairfax, probably 150 of us. We talked about this upcoming movie and our concerns, and we decided as a group that we would send a group collective letter to Martin Scorsese saying, you must meet with us, Gray Horse Osages, before you film this. And sent the letter off. And eventually he consented and agreed to meet with us. And he did. He came and with some of his staff and met with us. And we put on a traditional meal for him. We stood up and including myself, told him what some of our concerns were about how we would be depicted in this movie. And he listened and, you know, respectfully. And at the end, he kind of stood up and said he's heard us and he will try to honor us as much as he will do his best.
Is that the same meeting that he had with Chief Standing Bear?
No, Standing Bear was not in the meeting.
But he did have a meeting with Chief Standing
Bear. He met with the individual leaders, but was a Gray Horse group, not Osages from Pawhuska. Chief Standing Bear is a Pawhuska village person, as you know, so only with Gray Horse people.
All right, so then do Gray Horse people like Pawhuska Osage people? I mean, is there a division there?
No.
It's just separate communities.
It's just separate.
There
are
three traditional villages in the Osage: Pawhuska, Hominy, Fairfax, Gray Horse.
They just all do things a little different.
And
they all have different affiliations.
Chief Standing Bear said that Scorsese was a real easy guy to talk to, responsive and all, and he felt real good about him.
Well, most people did, and I think, you know, as far as I know, the reason many of those ages people who've seen the movie and participated, even were in the movie as extras, felt that he got many aspects of our traditional life ways and culture correct, partly because he hired traditional artisans to make the costumes. And you know, one of the things Chief Standing Bear said to Scorsese, I know, he totally said, you know, we don't want to see somebody on screen, even if he's native, talking, you know, Lakota or Sioux or Cherokee, they need to be talking Osage. And so Scorsese made sure that that happened. So when you hear language, you will hear Osage language on it. And so everyone was pleased with that they didn't dub in, you know, some other language speaker pass as Indian.
Seemed that I heard that Robert De Niro was taught Osage.
He did learn some words, yes.
Some words, right. That's right.
I'd have to say it'd be hard to be taught that very quickly.
Yeah, not an easy language to pick up. So, no, I mean, yeah, you could learn a few words.
Joe, are you able to speak more than a few words?
Not a whole lot. I could speak some, but...
Gladstone and De Niro. You met them?
We met Lily.
We met Lily, and we spoke with De Niro. Oh. Lily actually connected with the native community here. there's something called the Osage Dances every June.
Lonska.
Uh-huh. And the Gray Horse Dances happened last weekend, and Lily was there.
Oh, really?
She was here.
Came back
before,
for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's been here twice
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She connected with people here. She's just a lovely person, very, very sure of herself and very reserved. Just a delightful person. Somebody posted a picture on Facebook of her talking to some little girl, and it's just this darling picture.
So she live in California?
Oh, I don't know.
I believe so.
And so she came on her own dime to be part of that, even though the production was over with and there was nothing to gain, but because she wanted to be there.